lackeys for Frensick?
There was nobody in that morning at the offices of Frensick and Futtle. It was the manuscript of a novel.
Hello?
Nothing unusual about that, you may say, except that this was no ordinary manuscript. This was a manuscript that would wreak havoc across the world. The contents of this package was about to trigger a chain of events that would lead to arson, terrorism, riots, murder, and, far more significantly, my ultimate humiliation and despair. Pause, O men, for the Virgin. Even now, as I write these words, the memory of it chills me to the bone. The postman squeezed the thick package through my letterbox, and it fell onto the hallway floor with a globe-shattering thud.
Lords, we'll come to order.
The Great Pursuit, Chapter 1, The Scam.
Are you Frederick Frensick of 52 Glass Walk, Hampstead?
I am.
And are you senior partner in Frensick and Futtle Literary Agents?
Yes.
How closely did you work with the author, Mr. James Jamesforth, on his book Fingers of Hell?
I have a close relationship with all my authors. I'm well known for it.
Then you'll be well aware of the section in which one Miss Desdemona Humberson is cruelly depicted as a raging nymphomaniac florist.
Vaguely.
And being such a close confidant of Mr. Jamesforth, you will know that he once knew such a person in real life.
Don't be absurd. If I'd have known that, I would never have allowed him to put it in the book.
Allowed him?
You know, what I mean is...
Isn't it the case, Mr. Frensick, that you do not merely work closely with your authors, but in actual fact add sections containing lewdness, titillation and smut in an effort to bump up sales?
No, I advise, all right? I counsel no more than that.
I put it to you, Mr. Frensick, that there is no depravity, no low to which you would not stoop in the pursuit of the fast buck.
So that is a malicious lie.
In fact, in his testimony, Mr. Jamesforth claimed you said, and I quote, Jack Humberson up sex-wise, or I'll alter the proofs myself.
Actually, I did tart it up a tad. I did it all the time. In my defence, I would also add a bit of depth to the novels. A little significance gives readers that crucial illusion they're participating in a pilgrimage to the Shrine of Meaning. Yeah, there's a touch of the masochist in all of us. After the verdict, I walked back to the office at Lanyard Lane, past Great Portland Street and down into Oxford Street. The hordes of proles were out in force as usual.
$150,000? It's insane.
That's what the judge ordered.
For being called a slut? I'd take half that.
Quite.
My partner, Sonia Futtle, had been manning the phones.
It's been like a mental institution in here.
She was a brilliant saleswoman, and her links with America came in very handy.
Writers hollering at me, wanting to know if they're also going to end up in the High Courts of Justice.
She did, however, speak at the top of her lungs and was always chewing gum. Why do Americans feel the need to consistently have their jaw moving? If they're not yapping, they're masticating.
It has not been a good day.
Writers will be leaving us in their droves after this.
Oh, tell me about it.
Jamesforth's already given us the boot.
Murray too.
Judas.
Afraid so. I just put the phone down on him. Said he's got a cousin just started at Curtis Brown.
Ah, that's bloody convenient.
That's what I said. I tried to talk him out of it.
Once word gets around about this, we're going to have what is euphemistically known as a cash flow problem.
Also, Peter Piper called. He wanted to confirm your lunch to discuss the latest version of Search for a Lost Childhood.
An interminable book about Piper's pointless childhood in East Finchley.
At least he isn't thinking of leaving us.
Shame.
Year after year, he came up with a new draft, and in each draft he'd thieve the style of yet another old master. Faulkner, Hemingway, Hardy, you name them, they've all made a trip to that miserable little semi in North London. Half an hour earlier he'd been stammering on the phone to Sonia about his new version.
I really feel I've made a breakthrough this time.
That's wonderful news. So look, I'll tell Mr. Frensick you called.
You see, I've changed my ink.
Sorry, did you say you changed your ink?
Yes. For a short while, I'd use Indian ink, you know, like Kipling.
The man was a real case. He thought living as though he was in the 19th century would help him write like Dickens. Twit. He was cursed with what Sonia would call a double whammy, a deep sense of artistic integrity combined with all the writing talent of a dehydrated pea.
Kipling?
Yes, but it tended to clog up the pen, you see.
Wait a second. You write in ink?
Yes. in those leather-bound ledgers, you know, that accountants use?
Right.
You see, one day I accidentally discovered that a bottle of Waterman's Midnight Black left open in a dry room acquired a density surpassing Indian ink while still remaining sufficiently fluid to enable me to write an entire sentence without...
And on and on he droned about his damn ink and his ledgers and how he was writing for posterity and that no true artist expects recognition in his own lifetime. I wanted to hang myself.
I know the feeling.
Piper and I were at Oxford together, and both sat at the feet of the great Dr. Edna Luth. She was vehement about morality, depth, and the truth of human existence in literature. Unfortunately for Piper, he took her literally and geared his entire life around the pursuit of this singular goal. I, on the other hand, made my philosophy the exact reverse. And prospered.
I don't know why you bother with him.
My dear Sonia, even the most hardened and cynical of us can cast a few crumbs to those less fortunate now and again. Sort of keeps you human.
Oh, you need all the help you can get.
What's that?
Nothing.
Yes, well, I'm going to my office to think. If anyone else calls, you can tell them, I don't know, tell them I'm having a breakdown.
Oh, by the way, a package came for you while I was out. If you're not taking calls, you might as well read it.
Another wretched first novel. Stick it on the pile.
Seems it's from a lawyer's office, Cadwalladine Associates.
What? Lawyer? Right, give it to me.
Assisted, Mr. Blah, 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 blah. I enclose a novel. Here we go, for your consideration. Pause, O Men, for the Virgin. My client, who asked to remain strictly anonymous, wonders if you would represent this book. All communications concerning the possible sale, publication and copyright of the enclosed manuscript should be addressed to this office, marked for the personal attention of P. Cadwalladine. The author leaves the matter of terms of sale and choice of a suitable nom de plume entirely in your hands. I must reiterate, it is absolutely essential that the author remain entirely anonymous.
That's weird.
Yes. Yes, it is a bit. I'll be in my office.
Frenzy, you okay in there? It's nearly six. Hey, you got white. Are you feeling okay? Is it the manuscript?
The manuscript. Yes, the manuscript.
Well, what's it like? Did you read it?
Yes, I read it.
And?
And...
Yes?
It's... Well, it's possibly the most depraved, twisted, obscene novel I have ever set eyes upon in the entire course of my existence.
Oh.
It'll make millions.
Are you sure?
Oh, yes, I'm sure.
I don't believe it.
I have never been more sure about anything in my life.
And it's a dirty book, is it?
Dirty is hardly an adequate description of this... swill about in the trough of humanity. I mean, the mind that penned this odyssey of lust and debauchery is of a prurience unknown even to me. Oh, my dear Sonia, this is gold dust.
I don't know what to say.
Don't say anything. Read it. Yes, hello? Sonia?
Yeah, it's not too late to call?
No, I couldn't sleep. Well?
It's got something. I mean, it's compassionate and insightful and everything, but I...
But?
I mean, an 80-year-old broad shagging a teenage boy? It's a little...
Yes, but?
Well, it's got a certain sort of...
Yes, yes?
I don't know how to... Significance?
Yes. Significance, that is the word I was looking for. Excellent.
Why?
Well, because, my dear Sonia, it means it will appeal to those intellectual flagellants who can't enjoy a book unless it hurts.
Ah.
You know, obviously, from a literary standpoint, it's an abomination.
The story's been done before, you know.
Yes, but never in such exquisitely nauseating detail.
So what's the next step?
Okay, this is the plan. We were to mount a two-pronged attack. First, Sonia was to secure the biggest publisher in the States, Walter P. Hutchmeyer.
Sonia Fuddle, you big hunk of heat! Come here, give your Uncle Hutch a hug!
Hey.
The old shyster was in town on one of his flying visits, staying at his usual suite at the Savoy.
Hey, what's my gal got for me this time, huh? A humdinger?
Hutch never read books, ever. He was an illiterate. He left all the reading to his wife, Baby. She represented all those desperate housewives that made up such a large portion of the reading public. Babied had more work done than the M25 and sickened him to his stomach, but he knew that if she liked a book, it would sell.
You're just how I like them, Sonia, darling. Chewy and chunky. You're all woman.
Oh, yes, and the other thing to know was that for some ungodly reason, he was sexually aroused by our very own Sonia Futtle.
Pause, old man, for the... What?
I'm telling you, Hutch, this book's got class.
Class? 80 years old and still screwing? It's sick. Makes me want to redecorate this place with my lunch.
Why would Corkadales be publishing it in London if it didn't have class, huh?
Corkadales. Ah, now, this was the second prong of our attack. They were the most reputable publishing house in the country, but they were broke. We needed their name and reputation to win over Hutch, and they needed Hutch's cash to stay afloat. Quid pro quo. In the normal course of events, I would have avoided one of Geoffrey Corkadale's cocktail parties like the Black Death. But this was no ordinary day.
Freddy, you old plum pudding. Come here and give me a kiss on the mouth. Oh, have you met the enchanting Sven?
I needed to meet a 6'5" Swedish fairy like I needed a hole in the head. Sven was Geoffrey's lover, and he kept his beady Aryan eye on us the whole time.
Geoffrey, can we go somewhere more private?
Ooh, now there's an offer. Follow me.
Corkadales? I thought they was broke.
Geoffrey Corkadale staking his family fortune on the book.
Yeah, his old man was a snob.
But Geoffrey's in charge now, and he knows this book will get the family firm out of hock.
Certainly a fruity book. I thought the board were going to have a collective stroke. Pilkington went puce. Great fun.
Yes, but...
Of course, there's no way on the Lord's green earth we can publish it.
So Corkadales wants to publish it. So what? It's still smut.
But sophisticated smut, Hutch. And nothing sells better than sophisticated smut. You said as much yourself.
Keep talking.
Look, who do you think reads books? Who's the biggest market for this kind of romantic fiction? The older woman. What would your wife think of this story?
I don't know, but you call baby old to her face. She'll sink her capped teeth into your throat.
All right, but you know what I'm saying. This is a love story that the over 50s will go nuts for.
What, some crazy high school kid shacked up with Grandma Moses?
It's a love story about the totality of the human experience. They're at opposite ends of the gender spectrum, but he needs her and she needs him.
Me? Heh, I don't need either of them.
He gets maturity, wisdom, and the fruit of a lifetime's experience.
Fruit? Fruit? What kind of normal guy wants some geriatric goddamn fruit? It's grotesque.
And she gets youth and vitality. It's an awesome combination. It's profound writing. It's liberationist. It's existentialist.
It's sick! That's what it is.
It'll take the states by storm. Every senior citizen is gonna buy this book, Hutch. Trust me on this. You do not want to miss out. Ask yourself this question. Would Baby buy this book?
I gotta say, she probably would.
And what Baby falls for, the world falls for, right?
Thing is, Poppet, we don't relish the prospect of being done by the Obscene Publications Act. It's pure pornography. And Corkadales has its reputation to consider and all that, but, well, yes, true, it's change or die, but this book...
What about if I told you a US publisher has offered the largest advance in the history of publishing?
Really? How much?
$20 million.
What?
$20 million bucks! You gotta be out of your mind.
I kid you not.
Yeah, what, I just land on Jupiter? $20 million for a novel? Where are the cameras? Why do I wave? That's the funniest thing I heard all day.
The biggest payout for a first novel in history, Hutch. People are gonna buy this book just to see what all the fuss is about.
Yeah, right. And who's the dumb schmuck that's paying out?
Hutch Meyer's paying $20 million. Has he lost his mind?
But what's the difference? A slice of that cake would go some way to saving your firm now, wouldn't it?
Well, yes, but the board.
Damn the board. Who's in charge of that place?
We need some privacy. Come with me.
I'll do it on one condition.
Name it.
I want him.
Who?
The sicko, the wacko, the writer. Who do you think?
The writer.
That's right. This character who gets his kicks muzzling down with old ladies.
You want him?
Hey, for $20 million bucks, I own his ass.
But...
I want him out there where the public can see him and throw stuff at him if they want. Oprah, Springer, Montel. Yeah, how I get my rocks off with Grandma.
No, look, Hutch...
Senior citizens, I have loved that type of thing. Yeah, he's like this twisted genius. It'll be terrific.
I don't know if he'll agree to that.
Hey, it'll send sales through the roof.
I mean, he's very, very...
Very what?
Well, you know.
I don't know. Tell me.
Private.
Private?
I mean, he's...
He's private?
Thing about writers.
This is what you're saying to me? He's private?
Hutch, right?
You're asking me to hand over 20 million bucks for a guy who writes about the bonus he gets for the almost dead, and you're giving me he's private?
Writer.
Crap! The writer does the tour, or the deal's off.
Oh, no, it's Sven.
Open the door! I know you're in there!
He gets ferociously jealous.
What, jealous?
Ferociously? Well, we are in the toilet together, dear.
Smash it out! I'll give you 5 seconds!
Oh.
One!
The man's deranged.
Two!
Yes, but fantastic in bed.
Spare me.
Three!
Now listen, Svenny, my little biscuit!
Four!
Don't work yourself up, there's a darling.
Jeffrey, old boy.
Look, don't worry, Freddy. You'll have the contracts on your desk first thing in the morning. Assuming we get out of here alive, that is.
Right.
Back at the office, Sonia and I regrouped.
He agreed to the 20 million.
Yes!
I'm amazed.
How did it go with Jeffrey?
Oh, well, I was lucky to get out of there in one piece. He agreed to publish it, though.
Great. Now, there is one more thing.
What?
He's got to go on this promotion tour of the States or the deal's off.
Who has?
The author.
The author?
Yes.
The author of what?
Of Paws, O Men, for the Virgin. What have we been talking about?
The letter. The anonymity.
I couldn't tell that to Hutch. He would have laughed me out of the room.
Look, Sonia, we have an author here who won't even sign his name to a contract, and you want him to go gallivanting about America like some kind of demented circus freak? I mean, you need your head examined.
No. No. What I need is a patsy.
A patsy?
Someone so desperate to be published, so hungry for it, he'll do anything, even pretend he wrote someone else's dirty book.
Brilliant!
Peter Piper here? Hello?
In a shabby South Coast B&B, Peter Piper was not used to receiving phone calls in his room.
It's Sonia from Frenzic and Fuddle. I am calling about the sale of your novel. Hello? Peter?
Sonia hadn't been at all convinced Piper was the right choice.
Isn't this Piper guy obsessed with posterity and integrity? He'll never go for it.
Now he will if we persuade Jeffrey to have Corkadale's publish Search for a Lost Childhood as Piper's second novel.
It's the only way he'll ever get in print, that's for sure.
Exactly.
When Piper picked himself off the floor, literally...
Peter, are you there?
Yes, I fell. I'm all right.
Can you get up here right away?
Are they really going to publish my book?
Sure. Just a few small details we need to iron out first. Now get yourself booked onto the next train to London and I'll meet you at the station.
Piper threw some clothes in a bag and jumped on the next train. Later that afternoon, Sonia met him at Victoria Station and bundled him into a cab.
Thing is, Peter, may I call you Peter?
Yes, of course.
Thing is, Peter, honey, Corkadales are one of the oldest publishing houses in London.
Yes.
Their list reads like a who's who of English literature.
Yes, I know, they're awfully prestigious.
And we feel we need to do everything in our power to get your work out to the widest possible audience.
Well, I've always felt the audience will eventually come to me.
Yeah, well, the thing is, you need exposure.
Exposure?
You need to be pushed. That is my job.
To push me?
Mm-hmm, yep.
Oh.
Here's what I got in mind. Corkadales have this little book, which I know will be a big hit. The thing is...
Peter, how are you, my dear fellow? You're looking rude, health, obviously, all that sea air's agreeing with you.
Well,
In fact, he was white as a sheet. Half an hour with Sonia Futtle hollering and chewing in his face, and he looked like his legs were about to buckle.
Thanks.
Presently, we got down to business.
20
$1 million?
The biggest advance for a first book in publishing history.
That's a lot.
You'd get a piece of that action.
It must be a good book.
It's a great book.
Yeah, and very literary.
Very.
Yeah, once this book takes off, you know, it'll be a global phenomenon. Mm.
And because everyone will know the name of Peter Piper, they will be falling over themselves to buy Search for a Lost Childhood.
Oh, I don't know if I want people to be falling over themselves. I just want the book to be published.
And that's going to happen.
Yeah, as long as you pose as the author of Pause, O Men, for the Virgin.
Right. Thank you. I'm very flattered you thought of me, but I'm afraid I must decline your offer.
But why?
Wouldn't feel right.
Look,
Dr. Edna Luth always taught us to stand by our principles, to be true to ourselves.
And we both agree with that sentiment wholeheartedly, don't we, Sonia?
It's what this is all about. Being true to yourself.
But to pretend I wrote someone else's novel?
I don't know about pretend.
It just doesn't sound anything.
No, I wouldn't say exactly pretend.
Or legal, isn't it? Fraud?
Fraud? Fraud, my dear old friend. It's perfectly legal. Look.
And I showed him the letter from Cadwaladin.
Oh. It does all seem above board. Even so...
Think about it, Peter. Fame, fortune, a tour of the States... Your every whim catered for.
A little tremulous in the company of Americans, to be honest. I mean, they seem so sure of themselves. Even if they're talking about soup, it's like they're giving the Sermon on the Mount. But not you, Sonia. Obviously, you're lovely.
Well, thanks, Peter.
Oh, I wanted to throw up. Piper and Futtle flirting was a gut-wrenching display. But as he didn't seem to be falling for the fame and fortune angle, I thought an appeal to his humanity might fare better. An hour later, Sonia and I were still at it.
Look, we get that your art is important to you.
Yes, and we admire that.
I'm relieved you understand.
Yes, we just thought you being such a powerful advocate of the literary fraternity...
You know, such a potential leading light.
Me?
But the thing is... The author's got crippling osteoarthritis.
What? Yes, he has.
Yes, so he can't do the promotional tour that the publisher is demanding.
That wasn't in the script.
That's terrible.
Terrible, yes. Can't make a fist, you see.
And I didn't want to tell you this, but I'm afraid it's terminal.
Terminal?
He'll never write another word.
Oh, no.
Sonia was such an exquisite liar. It was a joy to watch her work. She could turn from triumphant prize-giving to emotional blackmail with such seamless ease. I wondered how I ever coped without her.
But why would he want to remain anonymous? If this book is his legacy to the world...
When you're that close to death, you see things different.
Yes, right. You know, you sort of acquire a detached perspective on your art.
And I suppose we just thought you would be man enough to support a fellow writer in their hour of need.
Oh, right. I didn't think of it like that.
When Frenzy told me about our little problem, I said there is only one man for the job.
It's true.
You did?
I took you as the kind of man who would be big enough to take on the challenge. But, hey, if you're not that man...
No, wait.
It's a shame, you know, because I was looking forward to working closely with you.
Look, just a second.
Well, you know, hey-ho.
Look, I mean, let's not be hasty.
No. I need you to feel like it's your duty, your solemn duty.
I know, but I think I do. Now that you've put it like that.
So... You'll do it?
Yes. Yes. I'll do it.
Fantastic! Now, sign here.
Yes, let's open the champagne.
We set Piper up in a little studio flat in Hampstead, near me. I wanted to keep my eye on him. Sonia and I took him round to look over the place.
The bath's got a jacuzzi!
We'll have to set up press interviews. Drama publicity!
Whatever you say, Sonia.
Even books to be read.
Piper on live radio, is that wise?
I used to dream of being on Books to be Read. I used to record myself talking to Mariana. I can't believe it's actually happening.
Well, believe it.
Which reminds me, Sonia, Piper must never set eyes on the manuscript for Pause. Not until it's too late for him to back out, anyway.
Right, he would flip his lid.
Yeah, and the whole deal's down the Swanee. Not to mention our careers.
Hey, Chris, Peter!
But, I mean, if I'm going to be on radio, if my tutor Edna Luth is going to hear me, she loves Books to be Read.
Yes?
Well, this book. I don't know anything about it.
Sonia will fill you in on all you need to know.
But don't you think I should read it first?
No.
I mean, you know, what with all the interviews you'll be doing?
There just won't be time.
I'm a very fast reader.
I promise you, it's a great book. A serious, profound novel.
Okay. That's all I wanted to hear, really. I trust you, Sonia. Completely.
Just stick to talking about your inks and your ledges. Everyone will be crazy about that. Now, a taxi will pick you up tomorrow morning to take you to the studio. I will see you there.
Okay.
You see how I look after you?
You do look after me, Sonia. You do.
We left Peter to settle in and went back to the office. Sonia got to work on the phones, organising press interviews with strict provisos.
Now, absolutely no questions about the novel. Piper never talks about his work. He will only discuss literary theory and writing methods. You know, what type of ink he uses. No, I am not messing with you.
Early the next morning, I went to see Geoffrey to persuade him to sign up Piper's second book, Search for a Lost Childhood.
Well, I suppose it can hardly be any more offensive than the first.
Let's just say he goes a different way.
I should hope so. The path he's treading with paws o' men for the Virgin, he could come to a very sticky ending, if you catch my drift.
Quite. Sign here. By the way, we haven't received the proofs for paws.
Oh, really? Well, you should have them by now. Hold on. Susie, have those proofs been sent out yet? All right. Thanks. Well, apparently they've gone to Mr. Piper's new address in Hampstead directly.
What?
Should be receiving them any minute.
I specifically asked for them to be sent to my flat in Hampstead.
Proofs always go off to the author to check through. Standard practice, old truffle. You know that.
Oh.
I had to stop him opening that package before it was too late. Piper was over in his flat, preening himself for his big interview, when there was a knock on the door.
Special delivery! Piper?
Yes?
Package for you. Sign here.
I was too late.
Paws O' Men for the Virgin by Peter Piper. Suppose I'd better have a read.
The Great Pursuit by Tom Sharp was dramatised for radio by Ryan Craig. Forensic was played by Mark Heap, Peter Piper by Adam Godley, Sonia by Laurel Lefkoe, Hutchmeyer by John Garasio, and Geoffrey Corkadale by Nicholas Bolton. Other parts were played by Hugh Dixon, Rob Hasty, and Alex Tregear. The director was Toby Swift.
Well, that's quite